जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोदरक्ष श्रीमद्वाइंग्रीस श्रीलाभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की। इस्कॉन विविध संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोदरक्ष श्रीमद्वाइंग्रीस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की। गंगामय जमुना माई की। भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की। ताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर जी की। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम जी की। श्री गौर नेताय की। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 15 Chapter entitled Description of the Kingdom of God, Text 32. Munayaha Ochu को वाम इह एत्य भगवत परिचर्या उच्चैः तद्धर्मिणां निवसतां विषमा स्वभावा तस्मिन् प्रशान्तपुरुषे गतविग्रहे वाम कह वा आत्मवत् कुहकयोः प्रतिशंकनीय परिशंकनीय मुनयः ऊचुः को वाम इहैत्या भगवत् परिचर्ययोच्चैः तद्धर्मिणां निवसतां विषमस्वभाव तस्मिन् प्रशांत पुरुषे गत विग्रहे वाम को वात्मवत् कुहकयो परिशंकनीय मुनयः ऊचुः को वाम इहैत्या भगवत् परिचर्ययोच्चैः तद्धर्मिणां निवसतां विषमस्वभाव तस्मिन् प्रशान्तपुरुषे गत विग्रहे वाम को वात्मवत् कुहकयो परिशंकनीय मुनयः ऊचुः को वाम इहैत्य भगवत् परिचर्ययोच्चैः तद्धर्मिणां निवसतां विषमस्वभाव तस्मिन् प्रशांत पुरुषे गत विग्रहे वाम को वात्मवत् कुहकयो परिशंकनीय Ladies.
Thank you.
मुनयः द ग्रेट सेजस ऊचुः सेड कः हू वाम यू टू इह इन वैकुंठ एत्य हैविंग अटेन्ड भगवत ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड परिचर्यया बाय द सर्विस उच्चैः हैविंग बीन डेवलप्ड बाय पास्ट पायस एक्शंस तदधर्मिणाम ऑफ द डिवोटीज निवसताम ड्वेलिंग इन वैकुंठ विषम डिस्कॉर्डेंट स्वभाव मेंटालिटी विग्रहे विदाउट एनी एनिमी वाम ऑफ यू टू कह हू वा और आत्मवत् लाइक योरसेल्व्स कुहकयोः मेंटेनिंग ड्यूप्लिसिटी परिशंकनीया नॉट बिकमिंग ट्रस्टवर्दी ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन द सेजेस सेड हु आर दीज टू पर्सन्स हु हैव डेवलप्ड सच अ डिस्कॉर्डेंट मेंटेलिटी इवन दो दे आर posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord. How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into this kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of God has no enemy. Who could be envious of him? Probably these two persons are imposters. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves. Purport. The difference between the inhabitants of a Vaikuntha planet and those of a material planet is that in Vaikuntha, all the residents engage in the service of the Lord Himself and are equipped with all His good qualities. It has been analyzed by great personalities that when a conditioned soul is liberated and becomes a devotee, about 71% of all good qualities of the Lord develop in his person. Therefore, in the Vaikuntha world, there is no question of enmity between the Lord and the residents. Here, in this material world, the citizens may be inimical to the chief executives or the heads of state. But in Vaikuntha, there is no such mentality. One is not allowed to enter Vaikuntha unless he has completely developed the good qualities. The basic principle of goodness is to accept the subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sages, therefore, were surprised to see that the two doormen who checked them from entering the palace were not exactly like the residents of Vaikuntha Loka. It may be said that a doorman's duty is to determine who should be allowed to enter the palace and who should not. But that is not relevant in the matter because no one is allowed to enter the Vaikuntha planets unless he has developed 100% his mentality of devotional service to the Lord. No enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha Loka. The Kumaras concluded that the only reason for the doormen's checking them was that the doormen themselves were imposters. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I express my gratitude for being invited here for speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I offer my respects to all the senior Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada disciples and others for being part of this most wonderful community, the largest community of devotees of Srila Prabhupada disciples outside of India. This particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing about the altercation, the argument between the four Kumaras and Jai Vijay. The Bhagavatam has 10 topics. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manvantara ishanu katha nirodha muktirashraya. So there is creation, sub-creation. Sthanam is the position which the soul receives based on their karma. Poshanam is nourishment, the special benediction which the Lord gives for being His devotee. The concession which one gets for being Krishna's devotee, that is Poshanam, like in the sixth canto. We have Ajamil, we have the pastime of Chitraketu, we have pastime of Indra. So all of them given second chance because of being devotee, that is nourishment. And Utaya. So Utaya basically means Shubh Ashubh Icha, which is positive and negative desires, auspicious and inauspicious desires. So the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with the positive or the auspicious desires represented by Prahlad and inauspicious desires represented by Hiranyakashipu. But the background to that seventh canto is in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam where the four Kumaras are angry and upset with Jay and Vijay and they are cursing. And as a result of that curse, Jay and Vijay appeared as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan Kumbhakarna and Shishupal and Dantavakra and then later as Jagai and Madai. So, the Acharyas very beautifully explain that when one is cursed by the devotees, one develops inauspicious desires in the heart. There is an explosion and volcanic eruption of anarthas within the heart because of displeasing, offending and misbehaving with the devotees. So that is the basic underlying principle described in the Srimad Bhagavatam on the cause behind inauspicious desires. So therefore, because the Kumaras felt offended by Jay and Vijay and they cursed them, as a result of that curse, Hiranyakashipu's heart was filled with inauspicious desires to such an extent that it is described, sa ittam nirjita kakub ekarat vishayan priyan yathopajosham bhunjano natrupyat ajitendriya. His heart was filled with such inauspicious desires which could never be satiated, which could never be fulfilled. Although Hiranyakashipu had access to practically all the sense objects in the entire creation, still, na atrupyat, he could not be satisfied because his senses were not in control. And because the senses were not in control, he just could not feel satisfied at all. And it kept burning within his heart. These desires kept burning and tormenting him constantly. And that's the result of the curse of the Kumaras. And therefore this material world is described as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, a place which is full of misery and distress. And it is an illusion that one tries to experience some peace in this world. I was going for a program in Mumbai. I was walking down this street, and then suddenly I saw one big building. And the name of the building was written, Sukh Shanti Apartment. And below it was written, under repair and maintenance. That's the story of happiness and peace in this material world. One will always be searching for it and be in illusion. So, Hiranyakashipu was cursed, and because of that curse, he just could not control his senses. He just could not control his mind. He was filled with constant anxiety. In the Ramayana, this principle is described in the form of three cultures which we find. The first culture described is the culture of Lanka. The culture of Lanka is called Vikriti. Vikriti means the consciousness where one wants to seek pleasure at the expense of others. Ravana literally means one who makes others cry. And he's so heartless that he is willing to go through pleasure by giving pain to others. That is Ravana. And therefore, the culture of Lanka is all about Vikriti. In fact, when Hanumanji is, entered into Lanka and he meets Sita Devi, and Hanumanji gives an offer to Sita, because when Hanumanji previously sees Lord Ram crying and crying in separation from Sita before he jumps to Lanka, Hanumanji has a doubt. Great souls are supposed to have equanimity. Why is Ram crying like this? Is he really a Mahatma? Just a doubt comes in his mind. And Lord Ram could perceive that Hanuman is having this doubt. Ram doesn't say anything, but Ram can see that Hanuman has this doubt. And Ram thinks, he's a brahmachari, what can he understand? And he still doesn't understand who is Sita. So he may have some doubt, but there is no point trying to convince a person before time. Because certain doubts get resolved only with experience. So Lord Ram just gives him the ring and makes him his duta. Hanumanji jumps to Lanka, and when he meets Sita Devi, the moment he sees Sita, the first darshan Hanumanji has of Sita Devi, Valmikiji describes that Hanumanji has such a transformation in his emotion that he starts thinking that here is Sita, the embodiment of such sweetness, the embodiment of such gentleness. She is actually mercy and compassion personified, and I'm just wondering, how could Lord Ram, in separation from Sita, still be alive even for one moment? Does Ram actually have a heart or not? So Hanumanji went to other extreme. And at that time, when he comes and gives the ring to Sita Devi and proves that he is actually representative of Lord Ram, and then there were, so many demons surrounding Sita Devi. So Hanumanji makes an offer to Sita Devi that, why don't you just jump on my back and we will jump across and forget all these demons here, forget Ravan. I'll take you back to Raman, Lord Ram, in just one moment. I'm making you this offer. Just come on my back. We will jump. That will be the end of Ramayana. Fantastic offer. Anybody in Kali Yuga would take it immediately. But to Hanumanji's surprise, Sita Devi said, no, I cannot accept this. Why? Because Lord Ram has appeared for a specific reason. Lord Ram has appeared to demonstrate that yes, there may be problems in life which can be solved. But beyond problems, when one goes through calamity, and calamity is a problem which cannot be resolved, you can only tolerate that calamity and deal with the calamity patiently. And understand that this is happening by Krishna's will. So the calamity, unlike a problem which can be solved, forces you to be dependent on the Lord. And therefore, she says, Lord Ram appeared to demonstrate how in such situations of calamity, one needs to take shelter of the Lord helplessly. Tadatadahamishasya bhaktanam sham abhipsatam anugraha manyamana pratishtam dishamuttaram. When Narad Muni's mother departed when he was only 5 years old, it was a calamity. It was irreversible. You cannot fix it. At the age of 5, how would a helpless child respond? Because Sri Narad Muni had heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from the sages, because he had heard the spiritual knowledge from the bona fide sources, when the transcendental sound vibration in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam enters into our heart, what does it do? It fortifies our consciousness, gives us strength, and the effect of that is even if we are helpless, we will never become hopeless. And therefore, Narad Muni, here it is described, his perspective towards this situation of his mother departing was Ishasya Bhaktanam Sham Abhipsatam. Narad Muni realized the Lord is my ultimate well-wisher. He is the well-wisher of devotees. Bhaktanam Sham, he always desires auspiciousness for his devotees. Anugraha Manyamana. This episode is like a blessing. It is the Lord's anugraha upon me. And thinking like that, having full confidence, conviction and clarity, and contemplating on the Lord's pure intentions, because problems begin when we develop doubts in someone's intentions. And having full conviction in the Lord's intention, Pratishtam Dishamuttaram, he departed towards the north. And therefore, in modern, you know, day situation, when a person is in helpless situation, they start becoming hopeless. And so they start approaching various kinds of healers and other kinds of people who are offering pill. Whereas the Srimad Bhagavatam offers the solution of difference in a perspective. And therefore, the modern method is the pill, and the ancient wisdom is helping you transform your perspective. Because sometimes the situation cannot change. Like if there is a skyscraper building, and I'm standing next to the skyscraper building, I cannot decrease the size of the building. I cannot increase my size also. But if I sit in a flight and go above, from 40,000 feet above, that building looks like a small matchbox. The size of the building has not changed, my size has not changed, but the perspective with which I look at that situation, that has changed dramatically. What does that do? It allows me and gives me the hope to deal with the situation. And that's what satsang is all about. Satsang is that place where we come to dip our consciousness so that we go away with greater hope than ever before. And so the Janmashtami is celebrated with great pomp and joy by the devotees. But the day of the Janmashtami, we forget the sacrifice made by Vasudev and Devaki. The joy of Krishna's arrival was preceded by the pain which Vasudev and Devaki had to go through. Loss of one son can be devastating. What to speak of the loss of six sons? Vasudev and Devaki lost six sons, and each of the six sons were killed in front of their eyes by the cruel Kamsa in a horrific manner. And therefore the Bhagavatam describes that Vasudev's qualification was he was brave. Tatascha Shauri Bhagavat Prachoditam Sutam Samadaya cha Sutika Grihat. Vasudev was brave, Shauri. Someone may say he never fought a battle. He could never defend his wife. He was not powerful enough to even be able to protect his six sons. Why is he called brave? From the Srimad Bhagavatam perspective, brave is not about how many battles you fight and win, but brave is defined as how many times you are subjected to difficult and impossible situations and how you refuse to give up hope and continue the battle. And therefore, Vasudev continued in his efforts because he had faith that Krishna will appear. That's why he is called Shauri or brave. So in the background of Krishna's appearance is the absolute hopefulness within the heart of Vasudev. And so Krishna agrees to appear in our heart only in the context of a devotee being supremely positive in all situations. I was giving a talk on Janmashtami at IIT Mumbai many years ago. It's a technology college, a lot of bright people. So after I gave the lecture in which I described how when Vasudev and Devaki were married, Kamsa was driving the chariot and there was a Akashvani, a sound in the sky which said that, you know, the eighth child will be the cause of your destruction, O Kamsa. And then Kamsa puts Devaki and Vasudev in the prison and starts killing the children. So after the lecture, one IIT student walks up to me and he said, I have a doubt, Prabhu. I said, what? He said, when Kamsa heard that sound from the sky, that the eighth son was responsible for his killing, he should have put Vasudev in one jail, Devaki in another jail, not a single son would be born. Why couldn't Kamsa think of such a simple idea? I told him what to do. Kamsa did not go to IIT like you. So, when you look at Srila Prabhupada, he spent sleepless nights translating these books, writing his commentaries. One may wonder, he could have spent that many more hours opening more temples, traveling to more places. But Srila Prabhupada left behind the most important and powerful message for all of us embedded within these beautiful pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is hope personified. Because one has all the assets but no hope, nothing can be done. If one has no assets but all the hope, then everything can be done. And that's why when Srila Prabhupada was in his house at Sitakant Banerjee Lane as a grihastha, on the first floor of his house he had given it on rent to the various Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis for learning Hari Nama Amrita Vyakaran. And one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada's disciples, whose name was Dol Govinda Shastri, was teaching Harinama Amrita Vyakaran to the Gaudium at Brahmacharis on the first floor there. And Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha, Abhay Babu, he was sitting on the staircase between the ground floor and the first floor chanting japa. Dole Govinda Shastri comes out, sits right next to Abhay Babu, Srila Prabhupada, and asks him, I just gave a lecture on Prithvityati Jata Nagaradi Gram Sarvatta Prachara Hoi Vimuranam. In every town and village, the holy name will spread. I gave that, you know, whole lecture. In every town and village, Lord Chaitanya says, the holy name will spread. But I don't have conviction how it will actually happen. Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Babu, he just gets up, takes two steps down the staircase, turns around, and points his fingers towards Dola Govinda Shastri, and he says, with conviction, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made that prediction, it must happen. And then Abhay Babu, Srila Prabhupada, takes two steps down further, turns around, and again, pointing towards Dola Govinda Shastri, he says, someday, a fool who is surrendered at the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada will make it happen. And then Prabhupada takes two steps down further. In that few moments, Dole Govinda Shastri, who is also disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, starts thinking, will that be me? Could that be me? And he didn't say it, he just thought about it. Prabhupada took two steps down further, turned around, and pointing to Dole Govinda Shastri said, it will not be you. And Dole Govinda Shastri was thinking, what does Abhay Babu think? He will do it? How can he do it? He's just a grihastha, always thinking about business, business, business. How can he do it? So pure devotional service is ahaituki apratihata. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you will miss it. So therefore, one cannot have stereotyped ideas about how and where and when Krishna will empower someone. And therefore, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Chota bada bhaktagan vando sabar sri charan sabe more karah santosh Swarupa Gosai Ramata Rupa Raguna Janayata Tai Likhi Nahi Moradosh. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I am 90 plus years old, but to be able to compile this Chaitanya Charitamrita, I seek the blessings of each and every Vaishnava. Chota Bada. Chota basically means the newest devotee and the oldest devotee. All categories of devotees need to bless me because every drop of blessings count. Success in material life depends on your skill and assets. Success in Krishna consciousness depends on one's submission and one's attitude. And so, Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, taking that seed of an instruction within his heart. And so here, when Sita Devi looks at Hanumanji, she tells Hanumanji that if I take the shortcut when in difficulty and calamity, in future, when people are in such situations, they may refer to this episode and say that, oh, I'm in trouble. Let me use my intelligence and then try to make a solution. But Lord Ram has appeared just to demonstrate that when there are situations which cannot be fixed, when there are situations which cannot be resolved, then the only shelter we have is depending on the Lord with pure devotion. Shushyantim rudatim ekam dhyana shoka parayanam ekasyan dukhasyantam napashyantim ramam ramam anubratam. Sita Devi's six terrible conditions are described in this one verse. When one is at the lowest point of depression, that is what Sita's situation is described. Shushyantim, she was tormented. Rudatim, she was crying. Ekam, she was alone. Dhyana Shoka Parayanam, and she was constantly meditating on her situation. Shoka Parayanam, she was completely surrendered to her situation of lamentation. Dukkhaschantam napashyantim, and the sixth most terrible is when there is uncertainty about when this situation will change. The uncertainty of the distress exponentially adds to that tormenting experience. Dukkhaschantam napashyantim. She could not figure out when will any help come. When will Ravana be defeated? When will I be freed? There was no certainty. But in all this situation, what is her consciousness described as? Ramam. Ramam means she was internally in bliss. Ramam. Why? Ramam Anuvratam. Because she was surrendered to simply depend on Lord Ram and follow in his footsteps and constantly aspire to serve the Lord. She was in bliss because her meditation was not on increasing and enhancing her prosperity or diminishing her adversity, but her consciousness was always to look out for the opportunity to serve Ram in every situation. And therefore, Ramam Anubratam means she was constantly meditating on that. And therefore, in Lanka, which is a place of Vikriti, a place where the culture was all about tormenting others, selfishness centered around giving pleasure to oneself, even at the cost of unlimited pain to others, Sita Devi was demonstrating how to transform one's heart into Vaikuntha with this kind of consciousness. And therefore, that's what is the culture of Lanka, Vikriti. You come to Kishkindha. The culture of Kishkindha is Prakriti, which basically means there is a tendency to be sometimes dependent on the Lord, and there is a tendency sometimes to forget the Lord's seva, as happened with Sugriva. So when Sugriva got totally bewildered after the killing of Vali, Sugriva said, 4 months of Chaturmas is there, I will rally the armies, but let me spend some time with my family. So he went, and then he became totally engrossed. And he forgot about bringing the army together. Lord Ram was very upset. Lord Ram calls Lakshman and says, Yena sankuchita panta yena vali hatogata samaye tishta sugriva ma vali hatamanvaga. In a very angry tone, Lord Ram looks at Lakshman and says, Lakshman, you go and give this message to Sugriva. The road through which we sent Vali to the abode of death, that road is still open. Lord Ram made a very dramatic statement. And Lakshman was in ecstasy. Because usually he was the one becoming angry. Today he saw Lord Ram having his bhav, anger. Lakshman offers to Lord Ram, my dear Lord, why give the message? I will kill him only. Lord Ram says, no, just do as much as I have told you. Just give the message. So he goes and gives the message, and Sugriva comes running to Lord Ram and surrenders unto Lord Ram. And interestingly, although Sugriva has made a mistake, Sugriva has forgotten his seva given by Lord Ram directly. But Lord Ram offers him the opportunity to reform and then gives him the seva of leading the army. And therefore, Nara means human. Va Nara means monkey. Va means like human. Va Nara. So the animal which has its antics just like humans. You get confused. Are they humans or are they monkeys? Right? So Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and a monkey entered and took away his shoe. And the devotee went behind with a stick. Prabhupada said, no, no, no. Not like that. Prabhupada took a banana and showed to the monkey. And the monkey brought the shoe near. Prabhupada took the banana closer. The monkey brought the shoe closer. And Prabhupada took the banana closer. The monkey took away the banana and kept the shoe also. So nowadays banana don't work. You have to give fruity now. In Vrindavan. So when you look at the monkey, it appears like human. So the Vaishnava, Sri Vaishnava Acharyas describe that Va Nara also means humans who are actually divine. They are divine personalities, Saksha Dharitvena Samasta Shastra. They are divine, but they appear human. They are also called Va Nara. So the Va Nara Sena refers to the army of divinely empowered Vaishnavas who are mandated by the Lord. That when Sita, who also represents a jiva, who gets distracted by the golden deer and then is caught and kidnapped by Ravana-like mind with the five Karmendriyas and five Jnanendriyas and put into the body of Lanka, surrounded by the samsara, the Lord is in doubt. When you are in a relationship problem with someone, you do not know how to open the communication. You need a third party to mediate. So the Lord is not sure whether the soul wants to come back to me or not. And therefore, he has to depend on emissary, the duta. And so Hanumanji, who is the representative of Lord Ram, representative and personification of Vayu, carries the message of Lord Ram. And that message is given to Sita Devi. And the Guru, supported by the army of Vaishnavas, ultimately go and beseech every conditioned soul in this material world, whether they want to come back to the spiritual world or not. And that's what His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has beautifully created. The society of ISKCON, through which the army of Vaishnavas is going out and giving the message, begging and requesting the souls, come back to the spiritual world, no matter what you may be doing. I was giving some prasad to one young college student, and he said, I will not take prasad, I will not take. I looked at him and said, I have seen students refusing Gita. I have never seen students refusing prasad. Why are you refusing prasad? What's your problem? He said, I'm afraid my hairstyle will become like yours. Right? One brahmachari joined Chopati ashram and his father came and started arguing with me. Why has my son joined at such a young age? When he's my age, he should join. I said, let your son go, you join. He got bewildered. He looked at me and said, let me ask in my family and come back. Next day he came and he looked at me and he said, we have decided, let my son continue. So, Srila Prabhupada has created this facility by which we can actually transform our lives and our family. Someone asked Prabhupada, why are you making this temple? You want to bring everybody and fit them into the temple? Prabhupada said, no, We don't have so much space in our temples. But the reason we are creating these temples is so that people come here, get inspired to transform their homes into a temple, and that home can be transformed into a temple simply by adding three elements: Krishna Naam, Krishna Katha, and Krishna Prasad. And so when Lord Chaitanya enters the house of Sri Advaita Acharya in Shantipur, he looks at all the bhoga being offered to their home deities. And Lord Chaitanya is in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya says, Aiche anna je Krishna ke karaye bhojan, janme janme shire dharo tahara charan. He says, people think Krishna consciousness is difficult. Transforming your home into a temple is difficult. Actually, it's very, very simple. Whether you do bhajan or not, you have to do bhojan at home. You have to eat. So if you simply offer that to Krishna, you just change the intention of that food. That first, I intend to please Krishna with this food. Then I will take that food. Just by changing that one intention, Aiche anna je Krishna ke karaye bhojan. One offers to Krishna like that. Lord Chaitanya says, Janme janme shire dharo tahara charan. I take the dust of the feet of such devotees upon my head, life after life. Those who cook at home intending to please Krishna, that's all. That is how much grateful I feel towards such devotees. So, basically, through Sugriva, Lord Ram is demonstrating that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when it comes to inviting the souls who have left my abode and want to bring them back, I am dependent on the Vaishnavas. I am dependent on this army of devotees. And therefore, Prakriti basically means we are all sadhakas. Our destination is perfection. But every step of our journey may be filled with imperfection. So we have to expect imperfection, tolerate imperfection, be patient with imperfection, and be willing to forgive imperfection, the way Lord dealt with Sugriva. That is Prakriti. And then when you come to Ayodhya, if Lanka is Vikriti, Kishkindha is Prakriti, then Ayodhya is Sanskriti, which is the perfection of all divine qualities, as described in this verse. All divine qualities which one may expect to see, you see in Bharat, you see in Sita Devi, you see in Lakshman. Lakshmano Lakshmisampanna Bahir Prana Evapara. Lakshman means one who is Lakshmi Sampanna, who is filled with wealth. What wealth? The wealth of service attitude in any difficult situation. Who is Bharat? Bharat means Bharavahi iti Bharata, one who can carry the weight of misunderstanding upon his head. Misunderstanding, especially from those who are close to us. When Bharat went to offer the last rites to Dasharath, Vasishtha stopped him and said, you cannot touch Dasharath's body and you cannot perform these last rites. Bharat said, the eldest son, Ram, is not there. I am the next. I have to offer the last rites. He says, no. When Dasharath was giving up his body, his last words was, the last words he spoke before he departed was, Bharat is my enemy. Bharat is a rascal. Bharat was a co-conspirator with Kaikeyi. Do not allow even a shadow to touch my body. And cursing Bharat, Dasharath departed. And Bharat had to live his whole life with that weight of thinking how his father misunderstood him, and he has no way to clarify that. That's why he is Bharata, who was misunderstood by Ayodhyavasis, misunderstood by Dasharath, misunderstood by Kaushalya, misunderstood by Guha, misunderstood by the sages. But still, Bharat continued to serve. Therefore, tolerance is represented by Bharata. And Shatrughna represents humility, one who had conquered over the enemy of pride. Shatrughna Nitya Shatrughna Nita Preeti Puraskrita. So therefore, Ayodhya represents the place, that consciousness, where all of the divine qualities manifest to its fullest extent. And therefore, if Hiranyakashipu represented inauspicious qualities, Prahlad represented the perfection of divine qualities. Why? As Jay and Vijay were cursed by the Kumaras, Prahlad was blessed by Narad Muni. And auspicious desires arise when one is blessed by the devotees. Nodvigna chitta vyasaneshu nispraha shruteshu drishteshu guneshu vastudrik dantendriya prana shariradhi sada prashanta kamo rahita asura asura. So the seventh canto describes Prahlad was, although born in an asura family, he had no asuric qualities. He was filled with divine qualities because of being blessed by Narad Muni. So therefore, the context is very beautiful. We have the association of devotees. We may be going through prosperity, we may be going through adversities, but Srila Prabhupada has written these books, the Bhaktivedanta purports, to inspire us to seek the opportunity to serve and please the devotees, so that by their blessings we can develop divine positive desires to serve and please Krishna. And if we miss that opportunity and displease and offend the devotees, we may have to face the reaction in the form of inauspicious desires which will haunt us. And therefore, this is a very, very important section of the Srimad Bhagavatam for us to meditate upon. And I thank you all very much for giving a patient hearing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, Panchagoda Prabhu, my friend. Any comments?
Should be desireless without aspirations and lovingly serve Krishna. How do we accomplish that? Just by mental adjustment, or do we just wish to do that and it'll happen somehow or other?
We should join Panchagoda Prabhu's evening kirtans in Krishna Balaram temple. Very good question. It doesn't happen automatically. Srila Prabhupada says that anukulena Krishna anushilanam. So the word anushilanam basically means cultivation. And that cultivation means one makes efforts, which means making the right choices. So making those choices is important. And whenever we have that opportunity, we should make the choices which will help us come closer to the devotees and help us serve the devotees better. So that's the idea of making the right choices. When, you know, the devotees were in Australia, they were caught by the police for doing Harinam Sankirtan on the streets, and they were thrown into the jail. And they wrote a letter to Prabhupada that, okay, for bail we need so many $1,000. Prabhupada said, forget the bail, stay in the jail. You just chant Harinam. And they followed. And because they were doing so enthusiastically, other prisoners also joined. And they were having a program better than outside. And then the prison guards, they saw that, they also started chanting. So one day the jail officer came, and when the jail officer came, one of the prison guards looked at the jail officer and said, Hari Bol. So he got bewildered, what's going on? When he found out, he called all these devotees and said, I'm releasing you. But they said, we have not paid the bail amount. You're not eligible to be released. So he said, you guys are more dangerous inside the jail than outside. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that, yes, there will be prosperity, there will be adversity. But Lord Chaitanya's method is, E rupe achandale kirtana sanchare. Nama prema mala gante podela sansare. We take shelter of the holy name and we beg and pray, let us be engaged in your service. That's what matters to me more. So anything which facilitates that aspiration is what we should aspire for. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. The four Kumaras were saying, you can't be in Vaikuntha unless you're perfect, therefore they must be. It's a bewildering pastime that Jai and Vijay were in Vaikuntha. How could they make a mistake? And also the four Kumaras, even though they weren't devotees yet, they were fixed in Brahman realization. How could they become angry at that? So it's a bewildering to me how it happened.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada mentions in various commentaries, including the Parikshit Maharaj throwing the snake around Shamik Rishi, and Arjuna getting overwhelmed in the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield, and many such situations, that there are three things in this world. There is free will, which we have. There is God's will, and then there is evil. Right? So we are all caught between these three all the time. Our will is always oscillating between taking shelter of God's will or succumbing to evil. So God's will is sometimes inconceivable. And so to follow the word of God is difficult. Because when we first came across the Bhagavad Gita, and you cannot do this, you cannot do that. Personally, when I first read the Bhagavad Gita and started attending lectures of ISKCON, and then, I'm originally coming from a family of priests who are worshipping temple deities for many, many generations. But the nature of Kali Yuga is you forget all that. Then I was on another journey in the college and this and that, and suddenly I hear from the devotees, no tea, no coffee, no onion, no garlic. And I'm thinking, how can you be alive if you do this? Today the world population is almost 8 billion. But out of the 8 billion, only 400 million are vegetarians. Right? So out of that, if you say no onion, no garlic, the number will come down drastically. And then further you say, no coffee, no tea, only these many will remain. So the rules and regulations are so strict based on what the Shastras expect. So the word of God is difficult to follow. But more difficult to follow than the word of God is the will of the devotee. When the devotee has a will, to follow that is more difficult. Because you are put on the spot. The book you can always close and keep it back in the shelf. But the devotee is kind of right there reminding you. Prabhupada wanted to make someone president, and this person did not want, so he put a long list of reasons why he cannot be, and put in his pocket and came to meet Prabhupada and offered obeisances and asked Srila Prabhupada, any seva? Prabhupada said, yes, I think you should take sannyas. So he got bewildered because he was prepared for getting an offer of being president. He said, Prabhupada, how can I be sannyasi? I'm a married. Prabhupada, no problem, you can do it. But Prabhupada, who will take care of my wife? And Prabhupada, Krishna will take care. But Prabhupada, my senses are not. Prabhupada said, you take sannyas. Gradually strength will come. And his mind was reeling like anything. He said, Prabhupada, I can do anything, but I cannot take sannyas. Prabhupada, become president then. So sometimes we may think that to follow is easy, but each one of us will be put in a situation of test where we are asked to do exactly what we don't want to do. So to follow the will of the devotee is more difficult. The will of the devotee is more dynamic than the word of God. But there is something more dynamic than the will of the devotee also. That is called the whim of Krishna. The whim of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna stands not straight, but threefold bending. Because which direction his will moves is unpredictable. And only those who can actually keep pace with his will can dance in tune with him. And those are the gopis. And that's what the Rasa Leela is all about. That there is no time lag in the response from the gopis to Krishna's will. Whatever Krishna desires, before he can complete expressing his desire, they're already ready. So the Rasa dance is not a cheap thing, but it's the most exalted manifestation of consciousness, where however difficult that will, the desire of the Lord may be, one is willing to fulfill that. And therefore, in these situations which you just mentioned, Krishna wants to orchestrate these pastimes. And for orchestrating these pastimes, he will put together various situations which are dramatic. And as all of you know, unless there is drama, one cannot get attracted. Therefore, just a group of sages sitting and discussing for years together is not attractive enough. What did they do next day? Discussed. And what about next day? Discussed. And they continued discussing. Hare Baba, we have to create some subject matter for speakers also. So therefore the Lord makes his pastimes very dramatic. And therefore it is all part of Lord's Leela, which is making all of these things happen. So Sridhar Swami defines Leela as apurnasya nijapurtarthe cheshtah iti karma. So the conditioned soul, because we are apurna, we are incomplete, to fulfill our desire we need to work. That is called karma. I am hungry, but unless I go and cook, make some effort, I cannot fulfill that hunger. But Lord, just by desiring, can fulfill. Therefore his pastime is not karma, it is Leela. Right? So this is all part of the Lord's manifestation of Leela. Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. There are many aspects of my question you could address and speak for another few hours.
No.
But you mentioned that the non-devotees are dependent on skills and assets. They have skills, they train for years, they go to colleges, education, and learn and become expert. They have assets, they have money, they have power, all those sorts of things. The devotee is dependent, our strength is our dependency on the Lord. But in practical matters, as you know, you travel all over the world, you're trying to help temples manage better and work better and devotees to become more responsible in their services. You find that they're, you know, to just depend on, I'll just depend on Krishna and everything will be all right.
Hmm.
But there's the other aspect of skill and assets which are required for an organization, for the institution, to build the TOVP, and so much is required. So how do we adjust this difference?
Thank you for that question. If I go back to the example of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is expressing this mood of submission, humility, utter dependence and helplessness. After all his prayers, pleading for that mercy, when he puts his pen on the paper, what comes out is flawless grammar, flawless language in Bengali, flawless poetry, right? So he himself is demonstrating by his example that helpless dependence does not mean spaced out. Right? If you are helplessly crying out the holy name, so it doesn't have to be off tune. If you have a good skill, you can always sing nicely, you know. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is offering what we have to the best of our ability. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, utility is the principle. So for running the temples, whatever is required. In fact, as part of my GBC duty, one of the things which we have initiated this year is we are creating 84 handbooks for temple management, leadership and administration, which will be divided into three sections, one for governance, one for core processes like DT department, kitchen, you know, organizing a festival like that, and then supporting activities. So total 84 handbooks. Along with 84 handbooks, there will be an administration, temple administration app. Along with that, there will be training courses on how to can upskill your temple administration. So this is all part of the next 3 years, from 2025 to 2028, all of these 84 will be published. So the purpose is Srila Prabhupada wanted everything to be done first class, right? So in fact, you know, you'll be interested to know, one time a country head of Citibank, a big, you know, conglomerate bank, he was a country head, ex-country head of Citibank, came up to me and he said, you know what, Gaurang Prabhu, I think ISKCON is better organized than Citibank also. I said, which ISKCON you went to? Which temple? I mean, which branch? I mean, I wanted to go and visit that place where, like, must be, we should take that as the benchmark and maybe follow. He said, no, not one temple. I have been to multiple temples. He said, the reason for my coming to that conclusion is as follows. I go to Los Angeles, 4:30 a.m. The shankh blows three times. The curtain opens. The aarti begins. I go to New York, 4:30. I go to London, 4:30. Sydney, 4:30. Nairobi, 4:30. Mumbai, 4:30. What kind of flawless global standards you guys have created? Amazing that right on time the aarti happens and the same sequence is followed. Your SOPs are too good. And then I asked him, how long you stay in the temple? He said, when the curtain closes at 5, I leave because I have other stuff to do. I told him, that's when the real Leela begins. So I made one website called organizeyourtemple.com, which is an existing site made during the COVID. But when we come up with the temple management handbooks, it will be upgraded to the next level. So in the organizeyourtemple.com, we have tried to provide resources to help temple administrators improve their temple administration skills, because we are not looking at only ISKCON temples. ISKCON has 1100 temples. India has 70,000 hospitals. But you know how many temples India has? 2 million. So we are looking at an ecosystem of helping, supporting, hand-holding, building capacity for 2 million temples through some of the resources we create. And ISKCON can become the go-to place where, when temples want to improve the way they want to organize, they'll come to Srila Prabhupada and his model of temple administration. That will be our seva to the temple ecosystem. In fact, you'll be happy to know that when the Ram temple opened in Ayodhya, January 22nd, 2024, it was such an overwhelming response that on an average they are getting 100,000 per day. During Kumbh Mela, January, February of this year, they got 300 to 400,000 per day. And, you know, one of the things which they wanted to start was food distribution program for the pilgrims who are coming. So they reached out, they came to the Kumbh Mela and they saw ISKCON's mega kitchen and food distribution, and they invited us. So during Ram Navami of this year, the ISKCON devotees went and helped the entire trust of Ram Mandir to start a kitchen, to start distribution of prasadam. And June of first week, the second phase of the temple is opening. on the first floor. And for that also the 5-day cooking, the ISKCON devotees are going and supporting. So now ISKCON devotees are being invited to help and support in multiple areas of temple development, in temples beyond ISKCON temples also. So that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So therefore, you know, you have come up with this fantastic book on cooking, right? Because the standards have to be proper. So you'll be happy to know that at the Govardhan Eco Village, we are, you know, in the coming January, we are opening a very new initiative. It is the Govardhan School of Culinary Arts, the first of its kind, purely Sattvic, you know, 9 months course for training in culinary arts. We are tying up with Symbiosis School of Culinary Arts and National Skill Development Corporation. So this will be a very interesting initiative where every 9 months we will be training and releasing 30 chefs who will be coming out from different backgrounds. So, so helpless does not mean clueless. So we may, when we cry out helplessly, our aspiration will always remain to do things as best as possible, as Srila Prabhupada has established, and as you can see here also in this community, everything is being done in such a first-class manner. Thank you. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha paritanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.